and wait to be entertained. No, we are here on purpose. We are here to proclaim the good news by our presence. That Jesus is the King who
raises the dead. God the Son was sent by the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, and has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule.
You believe that?
Yes.
That's just declaring what we believe. And we don't want to just know what it is, but we want to know why we believe that. And we're living proof that this is true, each one of us. So with that, we get to do what? We get to praise him. And I'm just hoping that this starts working like it's supposed to. It's always something technical. Just gotta get the mic, get the thing placed in the right place. Isaiah's ready.
This is how I fight my battles.
So we come here to praise his name today. Our Bible reading today together is found in Psalm 47, verses 5 through 9 in the New Living Translation. Let's read together.
The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. Praise him with a song. God reigns above the nations, sitting on his holy throne. The rulers of the world have gathered together with the people of God of Abraham. For all the kings of the earth belong to God. He is highly honored everywhere.
Let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you because truly,
yes,
you are our King.
Amen.
There is no one above you. There is no one who can even come close to touching you.
Yes.
And because of that, we are so grateful that we get to walk into your presence with song and with praise,
yes,
and thanksgiving,
yes,
and know that you don't mind. You're like our daddy who says, come on in the room. Hang out with me. So we're here to hang out with you for a while, to exalt you in song, to pray, to praise your holy name, but more importantly, to exalt the one who is everything, Jesus.
Yeah.
Who right now reigns and rules over everything, no matter what is happening in this world. Lord, speak to us through your servant today, and we'll be careful to look and give you and you alone all that you deserve. Glory, honor, majesty, dominion, power is all yours. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is sometime. Alex, I need your help.
Micah.
Oh, Micah, come right here.
Here comes Alex.
Here comes Alex. These mice are sometime. It just moves a little bit. Thank you. Here. Y'all know why we sing? Why we sing? Because we're supposed to. To do what?
To bring it while we sing.
To do what? Somebody said to worship. So that means we, no matter how, even if you can't do it, do what?
Sing.
Sing. Sing. You happy? Are you free? Has he delivered you? Then you get to sing. And don't he hear you in perfect pitch?
Someone asked a question. Why do we sing? When we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? Someone may be wondering. When we sing our songs, at times we may be crying, and nothing's even wrong. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. That's the reason why.
Thank you.
Announcements. I'm going to try to remember something. If I don't, just shout it out. So Bible class is going to be Monday at 6 o'clock, Block Talk Radio, and Kathy is going to be teaching Monday. And then Wednesday Bible class, same time, Block Talk, and Sarah's teaching?
Yes.
And Sarah's teaching that class.
Zachariah.
And then, okay, Zachariah. Thank you. 8 to 14, we have the questions there. And if not, they're also available if you go to our website. Anybody interested in the Monday class and you don't have a book, you can go to the Bible class, select, it'll give you the option to get the book. You do need the book for that class. Then we got June birthdays. I don't know everybody because I don't have a list. So happy birthday everybody in June. And if your kids, grandkids still have not found a program to do something for the summer, please, please reach out to me. DAPSAP is begging for kids. They have so many programs available that they're begging for kids. And then, so we can get that done. There's a job fair that's going to be held Wednesday in Livonia. The information has been sent over to Pastor. They're looking for anybody from age 16 and up. Well, if you have a criminal record, it doesn't matter. It's going to be agencies there that's going to be available. And then Kathy just walked in. She made me remember. So Friday, bring back the family. So make sure you tune in for that and help and listen. And if you have any information for that.
Am I forgetting something?
Oh, Janice on Saturday. And the Saturday, who's preaching Saturday?
John.
It's coming. John, see, I'm looking at people in this conversation. Anything else? Oh, yeah, put this in front of me. Okay. Ooh, they sealed this up. Hold on. Oh, and continue to pray for the Cooper family, and then Nicole, Nico, and everybody else. I know the list. Jenny's gonna put the list up there. So make sure you do that. And then for our kids that's going to be going off to college and everything, and the ones who may have to attend summer school. So we praying for these kids, and we always want to be here to support our kids so they can achieve their goals and represent our Father in the world. Dear Running for Christ family, thank you for your prayers, kind words of hope, calls, text messages, and cards. Can't read that word. You should something truly blessing from God. You are truly blessing from God. You have kept me encouraged through this trial, and I am ever so grateful. I hope to see you very soon. Love you all, Nicole. Yeah. And if I forgot an announcement, my apologies, but there you go.
Good job. All
right. Where, if you have a June birthday, please stand. Envelopes ready. The deacon will be coming along with the basket. I know some of y'all. Alright. Y'all ready? Y'all gonna work out on this next song. Y'all think y'all sweating on
the
rocks?
Come on, y'all.
Yeah. You good all the time? Yeah. How you doing?
Generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah.
And of course, Nedra.
Amen.
And then we got Nico. Nico's not on there, I forgot her. Naomi is asking for prayer. Talk to her. The Cooper family, the many Green families, all of the list. You see the list. Jonathan's going to lead us to the throne, but he's not going by himself. We all get to go in together.
Amen.
And ask God to do something on behalf of each and every one of these people and so many more.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being a good, good father.
Yes.
We thank you for simply just being good.
Mm.
Becoming you, knowing that you're always good. We're not always good. And right now, as a collective and as individuals, we confess our sins before you. And we ask for forgiveness of those sins that we know and that we don't know.
Yes.
And we know that you will cleanse us and keep us, Lord, so that we can be righteous. Help us to realize that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to live holy lives.
Amen.
And to be righteous.
Amen.
Do we get it right all the time? No, we don't. And that's why we needed a Savior. We continuously
Amen.
Need a Savior.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
thank you, Brother Jesus, for being at the right hand of the Father,
yeah.
interceding for us. We're not perfect. We're not expected to be perfect. But we have to give it a try, Lord, because we know better from the things that we need to put aside and the things that we need to pick up. And we thank you, Lord, for always being present for us, Lord. Always hearing our prayers, Lord, and answering in your time. And it may seem long, Lord, but your time is always perfect in on time.
Oh, yes.
And help us to realize that, Lord, that we need to trust you and we need to listen to you. But we also need to be active in our spiritual, physical, and mental wellness, Lord. Help us to trust you as a doctor that knows exactly
yes.
what he's doing.
Yes.
And know that you will provide all the healing,
yes.
all the comfort, all the patience, all the peace as we go through each and every one of us. Lord, you see that prayer list. You know that my brothers and sisters on that list need you.
Yes.
And they need you to do what only you can do. And help us to trust you in the process. As we all go through something, we all feel some ache and pain, some mourning, some grief, some financial burden. We all place that right now in front of you. And help us, Lord, not to just only participate in altar prayer on Sunday morning, but each and every day of the week, throughout the day. Lord, you reminded me to just kick it with you, just talk to you. And Lord, you've helped me all week, Lord. And I got to give you a shout out, Lord, for giving me the patience as a father.
Yes.
Dealing with my own sons.
Yes.
And that they've grown and they're becoming young men. And I thank you for your instruction yes. in that process
yes.
because it's not always easy.
Yeah. Yes.
From failing classes to National Honor Society, Lord, I give you the praise
yes.
and the
yes.
honor and the glory
yes.
for that.
Yes.
It's nothing that I've done. I'm just trying to be obedient to you. But Lord, help us as your children to respond in obedience, in faith, in trust, and in love.
Yeah.
We say thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 We can stand one last time. We're going to do this last song together because it's a song prayerful. Wouldn't you want to ask the Lord to let you build your life on Him? Or better yet, this is something you get to ask God. Because if we build our life on us, we're like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. If we build it on the rock, and the waves come, and life hits us, we'll stand.
Worthy of every breath we We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Thank you.
upside down. But do you know that we belong to a king and a kingdom that cannot be shook? It is forever established in the heavens. Because Jesus is our King and our Lord. And we won't be shaken, even if our foundations in this world shake. All God's people say,
amen.
Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I just want to take this moment to say how much I love my church.
Yeah.
I love how you come as you are and how we learn. It's a church of teaching, learning, and doing. So our pastor will be preaching his sermon's titled, Adam, Where Are You? This is part two of a sermon series. Well, he's closing out the Men's Focus Month with Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 1 through 10. So that's Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 1 through 10. And it goes as follows. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So as Pastor Janice has been teaching us how to pardes our way through the scriptures, I'm going to take a stab at the pardes for this passage. And I think the passage says that if you're obedient and you have faith, then God is going to make big things happen. So our very own shepherd, who knows our names, has provided a feast for the nourishment of our inner man as he gives us his Ramaz and Drosh, and hopefully the Shod as well. And these, in this scripture, in this last sermon series, for part two of Adam, Where Are You? So, church, repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Rebecca. We appreciate you. Amen. We thank everybody for being here. And amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for giving us another opportunity to come into your house so that we can study to show ourselves approved.
Yes.
We want to be those who rightfully divide the word of truth. We want to be those who can actually tell people what you said, what it means, how to do it. Help us, Lord, to get this word. Help us, especially as men, to be men. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And Lord, bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
So your word finds a home there today.
So your word finds a home there.
Because I acknowledge to you,
that
my ways and thoughts
are
not always like yours.
Are not always like yours.
But I'm here today
to
hear your word.
To
change the way I think.
To
transform my life. So I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will
in
my life.
In
Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've been talking about all month long men of God.
Right.
And we've had some good preachers to come through. We had Minister Richard Overall, Word of Faith. We had myself, the first part of Adam, Where Are You? And then we had Pastor Jonathan Tate. And here I am again to close out Men of God Month. We talked about on last time Adam, because he was the first man. And so, when I study anything, I like to use the law of first mention. It's what Jesus did. He would go back to where it was first said and then talk about it from that point of view. What he was doing is going back to where God said something before man said something. They had gotten into a conversation with Jesus in Matthew chapter 19 about divorce. And so Jesus told them, well, they came up with two guys named Hillel and Shammah, right? And there's the school of thought from them two. One said, if your wife burned the eggs, throw her out. Just write a certificate of, you got to go. The other said it had to be for the cause of adultery. And we found out that that cause of adultery wasn't one time. It was habitual. But Jesus told them it wasn't like that in the beginning. And they came back and told him, well, then why did Moses give us this deal where we could write, I divorce you, and it's over? He said he did that because of the hardness of your hearts. Because people were dumping their wives for any reason and putting them in a real desperate situation. And so he wanted that to stop. And that stayed with us to this day. That is why child support exists. That is why alimony exists. Those laws came from that time to this time.
Okay?
It was used to stabilize society, right? But the point I'm making is Jesus went back to the beginning. So we went back to the beginning and we looked at the first man. And what we looked at is what made him a man of God. Right?
Mm-hmm. And we found out that God gave him what? A place to live.
Right.
Well, God gave him life.
True.
God gave him a body.
Right.
Scoops up some dust. Breathed into it. Man became a living soul. God gave him a place to live. God gave him a job. And he was doing everything God told him to do. And then one day, it entered into his heart to become his own man, to do his own thing. And together with his wife, they decided, and even though Eve was the one talking to the devil, Adam was right there. He was not absent. He heard everything that was going on and didn't say anything. We talked about that being the kind of man in a marriage who say, I just don't even say nothing. I just try to keep peace. But that means you have become a passive responder.
Okay.
And that could be a problem.
True.
And it became a problem for them. Because in this conversation that Eve is having with the snake and Adam is not saying anything, they both ended up disobeying God. Adam dropped off, not being a man, but a man of God. And why? Because he's not listening to God anymore. He's not in relationship with the Lord anymore. He's doing his own thing. Whatever comes up in that head, that's what Adam is doing. What was the deal that Satan offered them? Two things, right? Number one, you're not going to die if you eat from this tree. That's a lie. God's a liar. You're not going to die. And what is the other thing? You're going to be like God. What does it mean to be like God? Nobody gets to tell me what to do. Who tells God what to do? Who tells God when to stop doing what he's doing?
Nobody.
Who can stop God from doing what he wants to do?
Nobody.
Well, Satan told them, you can be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, you will become self-determining. You will not determine what you say and what you do by what God says. You will determine what you say and what you do by what you say. That's good. Because you get to do whatever you want to do, say whatever you want to say. But you're not a man of God.
Amen.
We also came to the conclusion that being a Christian doesn't make you a man of God. Judas listened, went to every Bible class, didn't he?
Yeah.
Judas sat under every sermon Jesus preached, didn't he?
Yes.
Was he a man of God?
No.
Sitting in church don't make you a man of God. Going to church don't make you a man of God. Having the Bible don't make you a man of God. Reading your Bible don't make you a man of God. You only become a man of God when you do what God tells you to do. When your life is under the comprehensive will of God.
Okay.
Then you're a man of God.
All right.
Other than that, you're saved. Amen?
Okay.
But not a man of God. A man of God is a man, simply put, who listens to God. Does that mean that the man is perfect?
No.
Does that mean that the man does everything God tells him to do?
No.
No, it does not mean that. We did an example one time and we used Alana. And I said, Alana, get up. Alana stood up. I said, Alana, come up here. And there was a stool at the church and I said, take that stool off of the stage and set it down and sit on it. She did, and she sat on it. And then I said, okay, put it back and go back to where you were sitting. And she got put it back, went back to where she was sitting. Now, that made her righteous. Why? Because she did everything I said. Right? But then I asked Carmen, Carmen, is Alana perfect? See, that's exactly the same answer. Amen. She gave me the last time. So being a man of God does not mean you're perfect. It means when God tells you to do something, you do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Who is he that did his father's will? Him that said, I will, but didn't. Amen.
Amen.
And you can imagine around, if people were around, they heard him say, I will, they was like, oh, see, that's how you do it. And then this one said, I ain't doing it. I ain't doing that. No, that ain't even happening. You can forget that. It'll never happen. But then later on, changed his mind and decided to do what God said. Then Jesus asked the question, who is he that did his father's will? It wasn't the one that said, I will, but didn't. It was the one who said, I wouldn't, but did. You know what that person did? Vera, they denied themselves. They took up the cross and followed Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Lord wants from us. So we're going to take a look at some people in the Bible who God himself commended. Amen?
Okay.
But they weren't perfect. But they were men of God. And so if we want to know what a man of God is today, we simply need to read the Bible to see. We're not looking for perfect people. If you're looking for perfect people on earth, you will be looking until you die. And you won't find any. But if you're looking for people who do what the Lord tells them to do, you can find them. But you won't find perfect people. And we don't need to get that mixed up. Being perfect, being a man of God, does not mean you don't sin. Being a man of God does not mean you don't have opposite thoughts of God. Okay? It is not a sin to think crazy. It only becomes a sin when you act crazy. Amen? Anybody can think to do something stupid and then say, no, I think I ain't going to do that. That ain't going to work. Amen? The first person after Adam that we look at, because we know Adam made it up. The Lord made it up with Adam, right? He reconciled himself to him. Because we can't reconcile ourselves back to God. Because we're just not perfect. We have a sin nature. We're going to sin. If not in act, we're going to do it in thoughts. So we're not perfect, right? So God had to fix it up with Adam. And God gave Adam a system of sacrifices. Right? Mm-hmm. He taught his children. Now watch Adam after he got back in relationship with God. Now he's a man of God. And Adam and Eve had many children, and then they had Cain and Abel. They taught their children how to give to God. They taught their children how to live for God. And all they had to work with is what we call an oral tradition. We don't have any record in these days and times of anything that was written down and preserved in any way. It wasn't preserved on stone. It wasn't preserved on sheepskin. It wasn't preserved on rice paper or any of the mediums that people use to preserve knowledge. None of that was done. It was passed word of mouth from one generation to the next. Adam found out how to live in a way that pleases God. And Adam lived that way. Adam talked that way to his children. It did not mean that all of his children was going to live that way. Case in point, Cain and Abel. Amen. These are not Adam and Eve's first two kids. But they came along after some other kids came along, a bunch of other kids, because you can find out later that Cain went and got a wife. If Cain and Abel were the first one, where did his wife come from? Was she imaginary? Amen. She was a real woman. So Cain went and found a wife. So Cain and Abel weren't the first two kids. But we see in them their mother and father. We see in them what they were taught. I'm sure God maintained the way he works, right? He told Adam first. Adam told Eve. Together, they raised these children to know who God is. Both of them together worked together to make them know God. One of the things they taught them about being in relationship with God was how to bring an offering to God. Amen. All of us bring offerings to God. We have been given by God, whether we wanted it or not, asked for it or not, know it or not, time. Every one of us have time. Every one of us have talent. And every one of us have a certain amount of treasure. And God expects us to use that time, talent, and treasure in his service while we're here on this earth. If you've been listening to Dr. Tony Evans, he's been talking about the responsibilities that we have as Christians, especially as men.
Yeah.
Because all of us appear before the judgment seat of Christ, not to find out whether we're going to heaven or hell, but to find out how we served Christ while we were in this life. Old folks will tell you in a heartbeat, only what you do for Christ will last.
Yeah.
All the rest of that just goes up in smoke. It'll be put on the conveyor belt of God's testing, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you get to keep what makes it through the fire of God's testing. If it burns up in the fire, that's just wasted time, wasted life. Didn't earn you nothing in eternity. No treasure in heaven. So God taught Adam. Adam taught Eve. And together they began to teach their children how to be in relationship with God. And they taught them how to bring an offering to God in a way that would be accepted. It's not all about what you bring, it's about the condition of your heart when you bring it.
Yes. There you go.
Are you just complying because God said it? You know, you can tell when somebody's complying. They say, I gave them my 10% and that's all they're going to get. That's compliance. Amen. That is compliance with the law, with the order, with the command. But love goes a little bit farther than that. Love for God is happy. Love for God can't wait till they call for the tithe. Because you love him, you honor him, you respect him, and he knows that.
Okay.
So Adam and Eve taught their children how to bring an offering, and now it's their chance to give an offering to God. Abel brought his offering, and it describes what he brought. But that's not the point. You don't want to get into it. A lot of people say, Cain didn't bring nothing with blood in it. So God didn't expect Cain to bring something with blood in it. Why? Because Cain didn't herd sheep like Adam. He was a tiller of the soil. So he brought the best of what he had. Abel brought the best of what he had. God had respect to Abel's offering. Does God respect your offering?
Whoa.
Man, does God respect your offering? Of your time, your talent, and your treasure in his service. Does God say, because God commends you. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, and Abel was commended by God for the offering that he brought. God commended him. And God accrued it to him as righteousness. He was called righteous Abel. Why? Because he did it God's way. And he did it from his heart. He loved God. See, what we don't get is God looks at our heart. He don't always look at what I put in the pan. He looks at my heart condition. What is my heart posture? When God looks inside me, does he see inside me what I'm showing on the outside?
Okay.
And we can commend ourselves all we want. We can talk about how well we did all we want. Amen. Every time I preach, somebody tell me something about how I preach. Mm-hmm. And out of respect, I say thank you. But I'm really not going to be happy yet until I get home. And I go down in my unfinished basement that look like a cave. Amen. And I get down there in my unfinished basement like a cave, and I wait to hear what the Lord has to say. He's going to either say you did well done, or he ain't going to say nothing. Amen. And then later on, he's going to show me where I messed up, where I went wrong. Amen. He's not doing that to bring me down. He's doing that to bring me up.
Yes.
You was doing all right until this. Get rid of this, and then you'll be all right. Isn't that what the Lord said to Cain? Because Cain got mad because God accepted Abel's offering, but didn't accept his. So Rebecca, he over here in the corner fuming. And God goes to him. Not Adam, not Eve, not Abel, not any of his other brothers or sisters, but God goes to him. And God says, now listen to what God said. I'm going to quote it from the King James Version, because that's my favorite version of the Bible, even though we study out of NIV and NLT. The Lord said to him, if thou doest well, wilt thou not also be accepted? And if you tear that sentence up, you'll find out that he could have brought it right. He could have had his heart right. Why would the Lord tell him, if you do well? And how do we know that this was the first offering they brought? The scripture does not say, and when they brought their first offering to the Lord, apart from their parents. It just talks about it. So what is the Lord's, if you do well? Well, that means he can do well. Why would God suppose something to him that he cannot do? God will never ask you to do something you cannot do. You may not choose to do it. And when you choose not to do it, you don't believe you can do it. And when you don't believe you can do it, you won't do it. All you have to do is convince yourself you can, and you won't. When I was in the military, they hated that word can't or can't. Amen. You can. And you will. Well, you're going home with a crapped out discharge. Okay? You're going first, you're going to go to the bridge. You're going to go to happy hour. You're going to go to Delta. All these are forms of punishment in the military. Amen. You're going to go to all that before they send you home with a crapped out discharge, saying you just couldn't make it. Cain could have. But Cain chose not to. Just like his mom and daddy chose to diss God and eat the fruit. Well, here he is with his freedom of choice. Ain't that something, our government trying to take choice away from people? But God, we make horrible choices, but God don't take our choice away.
Right.
So God told Cain that you could have brought an offering that is acceptable. All you had to do was like you did in previous offerings. Before you started, what happens to us? What happens to us? You ever notice when we first become Christians, we are super excited. You can't keep us out the church. Can't even put your key in the door because your hand is only trying to go in. Okay? That's how excited we are. But after a while, we don't go to church no more. We don't go to Bible class no more.
We get too comfortable.
We don't. What happens? Why does our love for the Lord wane? Why does it not stay as hot as it was back in the day, way back when? How did it get to the place where we become complacent in our worship, in our adoration of God? How does that love dwindle? I met the Lord in 1975 on my way to do something I should not have been doing. And we have been excited. I have been excited. Ever since that day, it never ceases to amaze me when I hear it or see it in people, how their love for God just fell off. And I remember when they first came in, how excited they were. And I'm sure there was a time in Cain's life when he loved the Lord, just like Abel. And that's why God said, if you do like your brother, you'll be accepted too. He chose not to be a man of God. And what did he do? He went completely left. Killed his brother. God told Cain, look, sin is right there at the door. Why? Because God knew after this conversation,
right,
if you don't make up your mind, Satan waiting right there. And I'm going to let him have it. I'm going to let him, you and him can get together and do what you want to do. And what did he do? He got together with the devil and killed his brother. Right. Slayed his own brother. When God told him, if you do well, you'll be accepted. He chose not to do well. I'm not bringing no another offer. I don't care what you think. And I'm killing my brother. And he did it. But what's how merciful God is. How long-suffering God is. How kind God is. When Cain knew about his punishment, he complained to God that his punishment was too much. What did God do? He put a mark on Cain. Said, if anybody killed Cain, then what happened to Cain is going to happen 7 times to you. He protected him from his own brothers and sisters who, when they found out he murdered our brother. And you have to understand, did Cain really know what murder was? Did Cain, had they ever saw an unnatural cessation of life? Had they ever seen a body killed from the outside? You know, some scholars think that we should be kind of merciful to Cain, but the Bible ain't. Because even in the New Bible, in the New Testament, it tells us not to be like Cain, who murdered his brother, righteous Abel. Amen. So Cain chose not to be a man of God. And he took his journey off into the land of Nod. And you'll read about that in Genesis chapter 4. And none of his people are associated with God. They have skills. They have talents. They're artificers of all kinds of metals. They build cities. They build houses, homes, and buildings. They were sheep herders, soil toilers, and they were good at it. But what you won't find in chapter 4 about Cain's descendants is none of them served God. Every woman who had a man that was born from Cain them and hung out with them, had, they didn't have a man of God. They just had a man. Amen?
Okay.
Now, after Cain killed Abel, a son was born to Adam and Eve named Seth. And Seth had a son named Enosh. And through a descendancy from Enosh, there came a man named Enoch.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God and God took him. The word for that is harpazo. It's from the Greek. And it simply means something that happens really fast, in the blink of an eye. Okay? Snatched away. Caught away. Like that. So one day, while the Bible says in Hebrews that before God took him, he was commended by God. He walked with God. And God took him. You ever wonder what Enoch and God was talking about every day? Do you walk with God, man of God? Does God have a place in your life every day? Does God wake up with you in the morning and y'all conversate? Do you heard Pastor Jonathan Tate talk about the Lord just want me to kick it with him? Trust me, hanging out with Jesus ain't what you think it is. He is so cool.
Wow. Yes.
And he knows everything.
Yeah.
And if you go somewhere and people acting real stank, you can make them unstank. Or let them be stank, but make you get what you want. He'll make them serve you.
That's right.
One time I had to go to court. I was fighting against the state of Michigan. Couldn't afford no lawyer, so Jesus turned me into one. The lawyer that I did go to see told me how much it was going to cost to have him do my thing. And so I'm like, man, she's like, that ain't happening. So he told me to go down to the city county building on the 9th floor. They got a wall full of motions.
Yes.
He said, you look smart. Go down there and fill it. And he charged me $85 bill to tell me I look smart. But anyway, I went down there and I started filing motions 3 years later. Okay? It was a done deal. But we had to go to arbitration because the state objected to something I filed. A motion I filed. They objected to it, so I had to go and meet the objection. So we went to court. Okay? And the judge looked at me like Mother Irma looking at me right now. And the judge said to me, you know I can't help you, but if you amended your motion to these numbers, it would probably go through, but I can't help you. And I'm standing there kind of like, wait a minute, Jesus, did she just help me and tell me she can't help me? And all this stuff is going on the record, but she's saying it in a way where she's not saying it, but she's saying it. So I'm like, walked out of there confused. She's like, are you that not smart? Amen. Go and do what she said. File, go over to the county building, leave the Prescott building, Penobscot, and go to the county and file that motion and fuss with the lady at the counter who got the devil in her, and the other lady in the copy room who got the devil in her, and this guy over here, the copier, mad at them and won't leave. Okay, go through all of that and file your motion. I did, and guess what? Right through. Right through. In 3 years, Jesus was able, okay, just hanging out, talking with him, finding out that he do more stuff than church. Yeah. Jesus do more than church. Jesus work on hot rods?
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus do way more than church. Yeah. Man, I just built a new one. I know Jesus do it. Amen. 3 years later, it was all said and done. September 12th, amen, 2012. And it was all done. All that came from just hanging out with him. So I wonder, what did Enoch and the Lord talk about as they walked together every day? You know, Colossians tells us how to behave on our jobs. It says, work like we're working for Jesus, knowing that we'll receive what? An inheritance from him if we work for him and not them. But when we go on our job and work like we work for them, then we'll work all kinds of ways, in ways that Jesus cannot bless us. But we'll keep our job, but we don't have his blessing. If you want Jesus' favor on your job, then you have to do it his way. I wonder what Enoch talked with God about, that the Lord said, look, you're so close to heaven, we must might as well go. Can you imagine that, devil?
Wow.
You having a conversation with Jesus and he just snatched you. And Vera come walking in the room like, Deborah? Because see, I don't know if Enoch went home and said, the Lord finna snatch me, I'm finna leave. Or did they, could you imagine that? Enoch is walking down the road, and then all of a sudden, he just dropped. Because God reached inside that body, you know that, scooped up that dust, breathed into man, man became a living soul. Well, God know how to get this outside of us. Outside, and he was alive. God didn't take something dead. God took something alive. He took Enoch to heaven with him. Because he walked with God. Now get this. How many times did Enoch go to church?
No.
How many times did he read his whole Bible? No. He didn't even have one. Oh, I know what it was. His pastor. His pastor didn't have it for him. He didn't have no pastor. So how did he develop such a relationship with God that we don't seem to have today? And he had all he, and guess what he had to do? He had to memorize everything that was said about being in relationship with God because nobody wrote it down. Nobody put it in a book. We got a whole book, 66 books. Nobody had to put it in a book. He just wrote it down. And so God took him. Methuselah lived how long? 969 years. God ain't take him. There was a whole lot of other people who lived a whole lot of years. God ain't take them. I'm not saying anything's wrong with them. But don't you want to be that close with the Lord that you walk your way right into heaven?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, the next man that we're going to talk about follows Enoch. He is in the descendancy that in that chapter 5 people. His name is Lamech. Some people call him Lamech, but it's Lamech. Okay. He has a son, and his son's name is Noah. Lamech was one of those chapter 5 people. In chapter 5, they don't talk about they're big building builders, city builders, got all kinds of skills and this and that. In chapter 5, what they talk about is their relationship with God. That's all that's focused on over there. It is not their skills, but it's relationship. And so Lamech has that relationship with God. And he raises up his son Noah to know who God is and how to live for him according to the oral tradition that was passed down to him. And God bragged about Noah, about how righteous he was. God bragged about him. That is awesome to me. Because you don't find that a whole lot in the Bible where God is commending people. But he commended Abel. He commended Enoch. And he commends Noah. And if you look at these three men, what you're going to find is they listened to God. He didn't commend Cain because he didn't listen. He didn't command any of his descendants because they didn't listen. But because Noah listened, God commended him. And then God gave, aren't y'all glad that Noah listened to God?
Yeah.
We would not be here if it wasn't for Noah listening to God.
Amen.
If Noah was the kind that had to say what 15 times, like my wife get mad at me when I be like, what? Over and over and over. Okay, but Noah listened to God so well, and listened to him. Noah followed those instructions to a T. If God said, take a strip of wood 10 feet long and put it right here with this many nails in it, that's what he did. Imagine if Noah took instructions from God, like we do, about building the ark. Noah built that ark just like God told him to, and even though all the rest of the world around him, even though all the men in the world around him had left off following God, imagine that kind of peer pressure. You and your three sons are the only men on earth who are following God. You and your three sons. How awesome is it to have a father who agrees with Ephesians chapter 6, where it says, fathers, teach your children, amen, to reverence God and to live according to his word. Noah did that. How blessed were his three sons and their three wives and his wife? Because Noah did that. Noah taught his sons about God based on the oral tradition. He ran a Bible class in his house. And see, that's what needs to start happening. We just got a Bible class at church, but we don't have no Bible class in our house.
Amen.
Every time I ask the question, how many of y'all have Bible class in your house? For instance, this is not me, it's Jesus. Raise your hand if you have a Bible class in your house. Bible study, Bible class, teaching your kids, call your kids. Come on, kids, we're going to have Bible class. That's what we need to start doing. Look at our world today.
Yes.
Look at our world today.
We need to start.
I didn't even go to church before I got saved, but my mother and them kept it in our face all the time. It was everywhere. Big old Bible laying on the table, a book that said, come unto me.
Yes.
That's the book that finally got me.
Yes.
My father praying until the food is froze again.
Yes.
Tell Cheryl, am I lying? I'm telling you.
No.
If you hear it, you just stuck him up at the table with my father praying. Marcus, you can just go ahead on and get ready to. Well, when he get through, I'm going straight to the microwave. Because it's going to be froze again. Jesus will be back three times. Jesus will be waiting to come back. So I'll be glad when you get through praying so I can rapture y'all. Amen. It was all around. I remember hearing Janine folks talk about her mother had this passage of scripture on the wall.
Yes.
And she just would read it and just would read it. And y'all know Janine, right?
Yeah.
Right. It worked.
Yeah.
It worked. So we need to have that in the home.
Yes.
Even if it's just a saying on the wall. A saying on the wall. My mother put a saying on the refrigerator with me and my brother Christopher trying to not work for a living. She said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. She even put the pan. it was right on the freezer because, you know, right on the freezer.
Maybe wasn't having it.
He was not having it. No, if a man don't work, he don't eat. So you was learning Bible even though you wasn't doing it. But we learned it after we grew up. Amen. So Noah gets these instructions from God. And God is telling him to build a boat. Noah's probably like, so you want us to go move down by the river? God's like, no, build a boat here on dry land. And I know Noah had questions. But if you go through and what you, oh wow, they all trying to take me out of my time. If you go through, okay, Sarah yielded back some of her time since she didn't preset on. okay. As I come to a close,
that's not the board meeting.
This, as I come to a close, Noah, okay, had to follow specific instructions. And one of the things when we do, when we read about Noah, is we skip over all those instructions. But you don't want to skip over that. You want to see how detailed God is.
Yes.
What you want to see is how detailed he is. And what you don't want to miss is how Noah followed to the T.
Yes.
What God said. And Noah built a streamliner. Amen. He didn't build no boat. He built a ship. Okay, because it not only had to house him and his family, but it had to house all of the animals on the earth that the Lord would call to come into this boat. So it had to be large enough. And see, I lived on a ranch, and I know when animals poop a lot, they create what's called methane, and they can, you talk about instant headache, I mean, really make your eyes pop out. And so imagine being on a boat with that many animals. God had to teach him how to make a boat that would ventilate itself. Because they was out there for 40 days and 40 nights, okay, floating on that water with all these animals, and you know the smell had to be through the roof. They didn't even get a headache. Amen. But Noah followed God's instructions to the letter. And lastly, Abraham. We all know about Abraham. Get thee up from among your kindred and acquaintance to a place that I will show you. And Abraham left out walking. Amen. Following God to a place he didn't know where he was going. So every step. Now imagine this. He walked this far and God said, turn left. And he listening for the Lord as he's walking. He's probably talking to other people. They stopping and eating. In those times, they would travel about 15 miles a day. And they would walk from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening. They ain't had no street lights out there. And they ran. And there was a bunch of robbers out there. So they would band together and stop somewhere and rest. But he didn't stop walking until he got to the place that God showed him. And then he started looking for another city. But this city that he was looking for was not made with hands. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is the Lord. And that's heaven, y'all.
Yes.
Eventually, we're going to leave here.
Yes.
Eventually, we're going to have to get off this planet. Eventually, we're going to have to give up this body. And we're going to be present with the Lord. So before we get there, let's let the Lord be Lord. Whether we're a man, whether we're a woman,
yes.
Let's let the Lord be Lord. Let the Lord tell us what to say. We don't want to be those people that's following Jesus and calling him Lord, Lord, Lord. And then Jesus turned around and say, why do you call me Lord? And you don't do what I say. Amen. Let us be the ones who dig down deep into the Word of God until we find out what it's really saying and what it really means. And then let us stand on that.
Yes.
So that way when the storms of life come, we'll be able to withstand. It won't stop the storm, but it'll make you stand up in the storm. Just like Sharon stood up and said, my time is up. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. We'll see you next week. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give you thanks today and we praise your holy name. Yes. Thank you for showing us what makes a man of God and not just a man.
Right.
Lord, we want to be men who do what you tell us to do. Lord, men have fallen so far off today. And I thank you for these women that you're using. Because, Lord, if it wasn't for the women, I don't know where the church would be. Men just don't do like they used to. Men are not men today. They like to play today. And they like to do their own thing. But Lord, let us men today be those who do what you tell us to do. Let us follow your leading, your guiding. Let us be like Adam after he fixed it up with you. Let us be like righteous Abel. Let us be like Enoch who walked with you. Let us be like Noah who you gave instructions to build the boat. And that's why we're here today. And our Savior was able to get here. Help us to be like Abraham when you say to us, get up from here and go to there, and we follow you till we get there and follow you right to the end of our life. We thank you, Father, for making us. We thank you, Father, for making us your children through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that this day every day after this day, and in this day after this very hour, that we make you the Lord of our life. So when we say Lord, Lord, you won't ask us why we're calling you that. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for loving us so much. In your name we pray. Amen.
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 Let's go.
preach about Adam, but y'all see Isaiah up here leading.
That.
That's a man who's going to be a man. We thank God. Let us receive our benediction. May the love of God and sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. And what all God's people say,
Amen.
Take it when I get it.
All right.
Stop it.